dbkmediaservices.com. Listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SBCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, Derek Webb, and Bruce Knox.
Hello, SVC sports fans, wherever you may be and whatever you may be doing at this moment, but you are listening to episode 182 of SVC Sports Talk with Bruce Knox, Shane Combs, and Derek Webb, and I'll get to them just after I tell you that Triple Crown Family Fun Center is our billboard sponsor and always has been, quite frankly, for the podcast. We appreciate that. They're the place where all kinds of fun is found under one roof, and they are located 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe, just behind the Hampton Inn, just off of Bridge Street. Open 7 days a week, 11 a.m. to 11 until 10 p.m. Tried to get them to open a little bit longer there for a second, but that's what it is, 10 p.m. And you can give them a call, 740-773-7529, or find out more information about Triple Crown on the internet at www.triplecrownfamilyfuncenter.com. We appreciate everything they do for us. And now these two young men who are seated just across from me here, to my right and my left. First, Mr. SVC Sports Talk himself, Shane Combs. Mr. Combs, how are we?
Doing really well, Bruce. It's been a fun week. It's been a busy week, but yeah. I think we have a lot to talk about. And then obviously we have our feature segment tonight with the OSVC boys squad. The girls seemed to be a big hit last week. This week we'll do the boys. And then according to my notes, Bruce, I think we're going to come back and do one more basketball show next week and wrap it up. Mm-hmm. And then that'll still leave us about a month, maybe up to about 5 weeks of coverage of baseball, but we'll be able to kind of talk about that here in the future and relay that to our spring listeners next week, hopefully.
Yeah, we'll be in negotiations. Your people will be talking to everyone else's people and all that kind of stuff, I'm sure. And Derek's people, Derek Webb of the Chillicothe Gazette, joining us. And Derek, your people, I'm sure, will be involved in those conversations because we really have to pull some strings to get you in here.
Just let me know. Hey, on Sunday, but no, you guys are my people, so we're good to go.
All right. Well, we appreciate that. Shane, why don't we talk first about the feedback this week? Give us some examples of the good, the bad, and the ugly, maybe.
Well, let's start on the great side. The live call of the Chillicothe Uniota game was certainly at the top of the list. We've talked about it before. Anytime we get a chance to do that here on SVC Sports Talk, that's one of the really cool things, one of the fun things we get a chance to do. And probably the thing that you'll like the best, Bruce, is a little shout out to DBK Media Services because you're the one that makes it all happen. People couldn't believe the quality. You know, we're sitting right up there in the crowd, and that place was absolutely jam-packed. That picture that I posted on the website, by the way, was during the freshman game.
Yeah.
So it was a situation where the quality seemed really, really good. People seemed to really appreciate it. And Derek, I thought it was even neat that how much Chillicothe feedback we were getting. Parents had one player. Coach Huffer sent a real nice text. He and I had a nice conversation, talked a little basketball, appreciated that. And then obviously on the SVC side, had a lot of people interested in what we were doing. So, you know, that was probably some of the biggest feedback. Obviously, Bruce, we had some of the girls all league feedback too that we'll touch on throughout the show. But certainly when we start thinking feedback, we probably think of that. Derek, just your thoughts maybe on getting a chance to do that. I know we really enjoyed ourselves that night.
Yeah, I mean, it was just like the Uniota and Medina volleyball game earlier in the year. Of course, that was only my second time doing something like that. And it's just a lot of fun. Just a lot of fun to see the people, everybody out, you know, to hear the feedback, to be able to even get a seat to that game. I mean, because like you said, ours was reserved, so I could get there whenever I wanted to. And, you know, believe it or not, it helps me in my day because I was doing 100 other things that day, too. So just a cool experience. And, you know, I'm looking forward to the next time we get to do something like that.
Well, Bruce, as far as the game went, it was a good basketball game most of the way. Obviously, the final score got a little bit lopsided, but it was a game that Chillicothe jumped out quick. Uniota kind of, I felt like, spent the entire night trying to hang in and try to get back in. To be honest, they kind of did so in the first half. Bruce, for people maybe didn't get a chance to listen, maybe we could run through a couple clips for them. I know in the first half here we have a clip that talks about how Uniota's trying to hang in there.
Again, Chillicothe, it's a one and done as Danzy comes out with the rebound. Skip past Danzy, attacks to the right side. Good hands from Kennedy, knocks it out of bounds. Chillicothe will remain with the possession. 1:36 to the half. Again, 35-26. Chillicothe in front. Well, we had Kennedy. Now the two are going to talk. The two officials come together and talk about him.
It's going to stay with Chillicothe.
Oh, no, sorry. Wow. Well, anytime you get that, you're going to the one side excited. Yeah. The one side not very happy. Chillicothe, nonetheless, it's going to be Union of the ball. Chillicothe is going to extend their pressure a little bit. Down goes the slack hammer. It's White there at the timeline, makes one moving around. Trap from Barnes and Benson, but White's able to split it.
Good
find
pass.
Kennedy backside. Still no good. But again, Gavin Ogun with the rebound. Uniota continuing to have some advantage in the post. Back out to Hill. He'll come corner to Kennedy. Inside Ogun. Good drop step middle. No good. Ogun gets his own rebound. Second chance. Back up and good. Gavin Ogun really giving Uniota a nice lift tonight. Playing without Gabe Fisher. If you missed it in the opening, Fisher sick this evening. Ogun gets the start.
So, guys, right there, that takes us to our halftime score, actually, as Uniota was trying to hang in. Derek, obviously, Chillicothe kind of had their way start to finish, but you did get the sense throughout the middle of the game, especially second and third quarter, that Uniota was trying to settle in. Just some of your thoughts on the first half.
Well, first of all, I thought I couldn't really tell if I was listening to Al Michaels and Chris Collins or me and you. So, you know, Bruce, hey, Shane's really good at calling the game live. I can't talk. I can't think that fast. That's why I write, because I have all the time in the world to write. Mm-hmm. Shane just at the drop of a hat. I mean, he can go, which is thank goodness, because I couldn't do that. But no, I mean, you know, the first half, it was very competitive. You know, I really thought, and you kind of got the feeling, I think, Shane, you and I talked about this, you kind of got the feeling that Uniota even grabbed some momentum going into that second half. Yeah, they erased a double-digit deficit, and Peyton Hill had nine unanswered points, nine straight Uniota points. And I mean, you really got that feeling that, okay, that Uniota's closed the gap. They're going to come back in the third quarter, and, you know, this is going to be a good ball game. And, you know, through the third quarter it was, and then, you know, kind of got a hand from there.
Well, that's, I don't want to do too much, Bruce, because we have a lot of feature stuff that we want to get to tonight. But, you know, just so people maybe would want to go back and listen to the whole game. Why don't we pick out a clip here? We'll go to the second half. Obviously, I think Derek and I agreed that Uniota really struggled from the three-point line. And with turning the basketball over, Chillicothe's defense had a lot to do with that. And then, you know, obviously Moffman and Barnes were really good. Let's give them one more audio from the second half there, Bruce, where they start to take control.
Now he'll flare off to the corner. Johnson handling it against the ball pressure of Edler. Edler in for White there on that last dead ball. Moffman out top, yelling out instructions, moving guys around. Chillicothe really with a spread look, trying to pull Uniota out. Moffman in the paint. Nice jump stop move. His shot up, the little floater. Good. So difficult to guard when he gets that type of space.
16-5-4 tonight so far. I tell you what, he's having a very, very nice
game. I believe it without even looking at the stat sheet. He's been terrific.
Yeah, he really was. And that was probably, you know, we talked about Uniota's inability to knock down the three-point shot and him turning it over, Derek. Just along with that, wouldn't you agree that Moffman and Barnes just kind of proved too much to handle into the second half there?
Yeah, I mean, and you know, we talked about this too. I think last year when Chillicothe did beat Uniota, Seth Barnes was the guy. I mean, he was Chillicothe's go-to kid that night. I think he had 25.
Yeah.
And, you know, he kind of stepped up, but he had a running mate as well with Brandon Moffman. I mean, when those two guys get together and they start playing well, Chillicothe is very, very dangerous. And I'm saying even in a tournament run, we could see that happen if those two play like they did against the Sherman. So I mean, just watching Brandon Mopper and Seth Barnes work off of each other, something special.
Yeah, Bruce, I really agree. I'd watched Chillicothe a month ago, once in person, once on film, and I'm telling you, they were really, really impressive the other night. They become a really dangerous team here in the next couple weeks of tournament play. So I appreciate it, Bruce, you letting us do that. Hopefully, can you remind the fans there, Bruce, what number would that be if they want to go back and listen to that?
That's episode 181, I believe.
Okay, so fans can do that. So, yeah, that's good stuff. By far, oh, Bruce, that was probably the heaviest feed back, and we'll still touch on a couple other things throughout the show.
All right. Fans, we know the feature of this show is our naming of the All-League Boys Squad. But first, we'll talk some girls' hoops with All-League feedback and seven SVC teams in sectional championship action this past Saturday. Well, you're listening to episode 182 of SVC Sports Talk.
I don't have the music skill of one Bruce Knox and Derek Webb, but what was that?
I went way back for that. I know I did. And I thought at the time I picked it out, I thought, well, I like it, and no one else will. But
that's
that
all right.
Is Kenny Loggins.
I thought it was on Gilligan's Isle.
Nah, it's Kenny Loggins from probably 1980, something like that. I'm showing my age, I realize. That's all right. It gets harder and harder to find new and different music with a long lead-in like that I like. So, whatever. You know, you guys can fire me if you'd like.
We're definitely not going to do that because then Derek and I would have to do all the dirty work behind the scenes.
Yeah, I see. All those people here at DBK Media Services. Yes. Right. Yeah. Anyway, we digress, but now let's get back to the girls all-league squad and the reactions to your teams, the official list, and what did you guys think about this? Let's first talk about our squad, differences in the two. Shane's view versus Derek's view. Have we heard anything about that?
Well, Derek, one of the interesting things, I was probably asked on three different occasions in a variety of ways, was basically saying that, you know, like always, you and I probably agree on, say, you know, 10 or 11 of the kids, but then we'd have some differences. And they were asking, the more you and I work together, what would – we consider probably the differences in our view. And I think we've kind of touched on this before, and I want to see if you would agree with me. I think we probably get a little bit of a mixture of the media / fan / coach. And you know, a lot of times one of the best examples I could probably come up with is take the Huntington girls, for example. I know when you watched on opening day, you talked about Braden Collins and Kelsey McDonald, and rightfully so. You know, they were two sophomores that jumped right out, where throughout the year, all the publicity they get is very, very well deserved. But from a coach's perspective, you also understand that, you know, Huntington ended their season the other day at 15-8. Without Ricky McGill handling the basketball, that wouldn't even be a 500 basketball team. So a lot of times you might get some different persuasion there depending on what lens we're looking through from, say, a media to a fan. You know, when you and I watch the Uniota girls, we might do the same thing. Or when we break down the Uniota boys, depending on what night we watch them, you know, we might notice that a Kennedy did this, but this night Swackhammer did this. Would you say that that's kind of a fair way to answer that particular question that's coming in from multiple fans?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, I would agree. You know, 9 times out of 10, you and I agree on most things. There is that, you know, sort of that once in 10 times where you know, the difference in opinion, you know, I think comes from me being in my position and then you being in your position as a basketball coach. So but it's always fun.
No question. Yeah.
Intelligence allows for disagreements, right?
Sure.
All right. What about the official list? It came out this week, obviously. Was there a snub in there any place, Shane?
Oh, I guess it depends. I mean, you know, if I look back at my list, I guess the way I feel, I think for me, the biggest thing, guys, it's hard to say that a Piketon or Uniota or Southeastern type of kid is a snub because I think a lot of times the debate comes in how you rank them within their own team. So it's hard to say that Travis is a snub because you might have thought, well, Lido or a Reuter or someone like that was the 2-3 for Piketon. It's hard to say that a particular kid like Collins for Southeastern is a snub because you might think Minton. Obviously, the Uniota list could go on and on. I guess for me, Derek, if I look back at my list, a couple senior guards jump out at me, maybe a Halo Dobbins and Ashton Ward. I don't know. Just your thoughts on the official list. Anybody missing there that made you take a second look thinking, ooh, yeah, they probably should have made it?
Well, I looked at, as you look at the honorable mention side, and yeah, I mean, I agree with you. You see those names, the Cottrell, the Sigmund, the Ward. You're thinking, well, man, you know, an honorable mention. But then you look at the first, second, third team, and you're like, well, where are you going to fit them in? Right. So, I mean, honestly, and I've been notorious for kind of, I guess, disagreeing with the official list here and there of the all SVC teams. But I honestly think that they did a great job on the girls basketball. I really do. I think that I think they pretty much nailed it. I mean, I can't disagree with any of the picks or where they are. And usually I can find at least one where I'm like, now, come on. But I mean, this year I really do. I think that I think they pretty much got it spot on.
Should we mint a coin or anything, Derek?
Something like that. Because this is a rare occasion.
Let's hit the rewind button and let them listen to that a few more times. Yeah. What about, you know, how do the career numbers play into this a little bit? I mean, do they play into this, or is this sort of the moment in time kind of thing for the picks?
I tell you. I think it does play into it, Derek. I think it's hard to ignore when a kid is a senior and you've watched them for a 2 or 3, even 4 year period do what they're doing. You know, for example, this year where Kara Blanton missed some time, you know, if that would have been a sophomore missing time, I think it could have hurt a kid more than it ended up hurting her, just because you had such an appreciation for how she had rebounded the basketball over a long period of time. You know, where Alexi Woods is another one. You know, Alexi's a kid that played on a bottom half team. Well, when she was younger, that cost her first team a little bit. Where this year, I think, you know, even though a Josie Fisher was on a second place team, I think what pushes Alexi Woods over the top is the fact that here's a junior that has like 1,100 points. I mean, it's something that, so it is a year versus career, and some people don't agree with that. And if that's where they stand, I certainly get it. But I think what's happened is, you know, there's a lot of different things in terms of coverage now. And Derek deserves a lot of credit for this. SVC Sports Zone deserves a lot of credit for it. The growth of radio and different things deserves credit for it. It's a situation where we're more aware now of career numbers. We're more aware of intangibles such as a point guard bias, some of those things. So, yeah, for me, I guess a career does play a role. And that might be a little unfair when you consider it's the 2016-2017 All-SVC list, but I guess it's just the fact that that's there as far as I'm concerned.
Derek?
I mean, I would totally agree with that. I think that the career numbers do, you know, make us pay more attention to those names and maybe even put them higher on the list. But I'm glad I can say that because I don't care where the team's finish. If a kid is as good as if she's on the court and her performance shows that she's worthy of a first team selection, she's worthy of a first team selection. I don't care if her team finishes first or eighth.
Okay.
So I'm kind of glad that is going on because I mean, like Alexi Woods, you know, Shane, you mentioned her. You know, again, you're right. 2 years ago, Alexi Woods may not have been a first team player, but with her performances on the court this year, she was absolutely worthy of that selection. So, you know, I think it's a positive thing.
And how about Shane mentioning his point guard bias there, Derek? We wouldn't have known that had he not mentioned it.
Right. We could have inferred, right?
Yeah, probably.
But Shane, no, I mean, I get it.
Yeah. Shane, I mean, what about the point guard bias? I can't say that for some reason tonight. But what about that? Should we pay more attention to that position?
I think, guys, for all the reasons I just mentioned with increased coverage, I think the point guard certainly gets a little bit more attention on an all-league setting than, say, that a point guard may have, say, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago. It's a situation with point guards now, better stat keeping, better reporting, more opportunities to maybe really appreciate what that particular position does for his or her team. So yeah, I think intangibles overall, the steals category, defensively, rebounding, assisting, all of those things just seem to be promoted a little bit better now, which I think leads, or I should say lends itself to that a little bit more.
All righty. Shane, let's lock and load on the girls segment of the Fast Break.
Yeah, we'll, as always, have it brought to the fans by Crown Hill Golf Club. Give them a call, 740-986-4653. I know some of the people up there, and I have been talking some real good basketball coverage here the last couple weeks, and they're always letting us know to pass on to the fans to give them a call. Again, I'll give that number, 740-986-4653. Tell them SVC Sports Talk sent you. So, you know, this week we returned to the Fast Break. Remember last week we skipped the girls, guys, so that we could end up doing our all-league selections. So this week we'll return to our three-question format. Derek will go first, and I'll follow up. So here we go with the girls' Fast Break.
What is your number one positive takeaway from Saturday as seven SVC teams played for sectional championships?
You know, I think my number one would be Pikeman's win over Peebles, an 18-point win over a team that can really shoot the three ball. We saw that against Paint Valley earlier this year where they hit double-digit triples, and, you know, against Pikeman they hit two. So I really think that's a good sign for the Red Streaks going forward, and that's good perimeter defense against a hot shooting team at times.
Well, for me, guys, it was Southeastern in the way they went about business. You know, the SVC has continued to really get disrespected by other conferences, especially the Southern Hills League or the Southern Hills Athletic Conference or whatever they call themselves now. And the fact that Southeastern was able to roll, I think Southeastern's really hungry. They're experienced. They're ready for this. We do get Southeastern Piketon to the district level. Piketon's going to have an absolutely brutal matchup. But you know, I think our league can be all in with Southeastern. It's really important to our league that Southeastern can go to Waverly and play at a high level.
On the other hand, what is your negative takeaway from Saturday as seven SVC teams played for sectional championships?
Well, I mean, I think you kind of said it in the headline. Seven SVC teams played for sectional championships, and then we saw only three get out alive. You know, I mean, or up two get out of alive. I'm thinking of Chillicothe beating McLean. So, you know, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, you do have your maybe pop, you know, a lot of people would say your two strongest teams in the conference at the Division III level get out. But, you know, for five others, that the season's over. So, I mean, you know, I think that's an obvious answer there.
Well, for me, guys, it's the gap. You know, when we look at some of the elite around the area, Alexander, Oak Hill, North Adams, Uniota in Division II, even New Boston coming back and getting Paint Valley. Yeah, the matchups were tough, but obviously the gap probably sticks out as a negative thing. You know, Uniota is going to grow. Huntington will grow from it. Huntington was on a bad side of a setup draw where, you know, in all honesty, Huntington should have had a chance to play Piketon in the 4-5 game, and Peebles was able to get themselves into that. So obviously really happy for Piketon to represent our league there and have that play out the way it should have. But, yeah, I mean, obviously the gap is a difficult thing, and it shows us we had a positive year, but we still have a long way to go here. You know, we talked about the monopoly SVC has on volleyball and so forth. It's going to be a hard thing to change, but we got to keep grinding it out at our younger levels.
With six teams heading to the offseason, what do you see as the biggest offseason question that needs to be answered in girls basketball?
For me, I think it's Uniota's youth and how it continues to grow. You know, we've talked about it, and it's been highly archived. It's been highly reported on, and, you know, I mean, is it going to come to fruition? You know, we know that they can be a very good team next year, maybe even an elite team during their junior year, but Jeff Miller said it best after their loss to Miami Trace on Saturday. You know, he told me, you know, this group has a chance to be special, but this group has to put in the hard work in order to be special. So I'm anxious to see how they progress into next year, and you know, how they get better, or if they get better.
Yeah, I'm on the same track as you. 9 all late kids coming back, I think, was my count. And just about all of them have plenty to work on. You know Skeens and Woods will lead that particular list there. But when you see a young list coming back, Braden Collins, Kelsey McDonald need to become better shooters, improve with the left hand. Reuter and Lytle are going to have to go into completely different roles playing. Without the size in front, I look forward to Heiss expanding her role. Westfall Groves, what's the eighth grade group at Zane Trace going to bring into a program that's going to be low on numbers? And then, Derek just did a great job of describing Uniota. So each of those kids taking something and adding it to their game, be it becoming a better shooter. Say, I'll give you an example. Maybe the Coleman girl, as good as she was as a freshman, becoming a little bit better free throw shooter. That number is kind of a weird stat. So just a lot of different kids throughout adding something to their game. But I guess the offseason thing would have to be, is Uniota able to close the gap on Southeastern? They certainly did late in the year there. But going into the offseason, if I were just speaking on behalf of the league, I'd say that's probably the biggest offseason question.
And that is our fast break for the girls segment this week. And as always, brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Club. Give them a call at 740-986-4653 and tell them the boys at SVC Sports Talk sent you. Want to mention another one of our sponsors, that being C&K Athletic Equipment. You can find them on the web as well at www.cnkathleticequipment.com. They're open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 9 a.m. to 12, and closed on Sunday. Located at 116 East High Street in Circleville, they are your local school apparel source. You can also find fitness gear, sports accessories, sports equipment, and some headwear there, too. So give them a call, 740-477-9828. And Shane, we're going to move now into the boys' side of things. A lot of comments, I'm sure, coming in about senior nights. This past Friday had some emotional scenes. And what are your thoughts about senior nights and what they mean, maybe how they're kind of stretched sometimes? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, they can be. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. Every now and then we get a little carried away with it. But for me, senior night, when done correctly, can be a pretty cool thing. You know, my favorite part of senior night is when you can get a real genuine moment that's not necessarily scripted. It's just that pure emotion. Like, for example, one that I was close to the other night, I watched a moment that Jay Riley was able to share there at Paint Valley with his teammates, his coaches, his family, and so forth. Corey Wyman coming back and playing. Those are some moments that really jump out at me, you know. So, I guess for me, guys, to answer the question in short would be when you can get those genuine moments where you see, you know, 4 years of commitment, maybe coming through an injury or coming through adversity or whatever it might be, just kind of maybe coming to the realization of, hey, this is the last time I'm going to play here in this gym, and you kind of get that real raw emotion. I'd say that's some good stuff.
Shane, do you ever see situations where, I mean, I noticed the other night at senior night here at Vinton County that the refs were kind of on board with the whole deal. Do you ever see the refs kind of fight you on that or fight a coach on senior night a little bit?
Yeah, no, not really. As long as you're not doing anything that's going to disrupt the integrity of the game or the flow of the game or you know, something that's going to impact. You know, for example, the other night in the Paint Valley situation, they wanted Jay Riley to be able to go out there. Well, obviously, you know, for the sake of his safety, you don't want the game to go live.
Yeah.
So, you know, the refs were kind of on board of when he controlled the tip of kind of getting a timeout without costing a team a timeout, without costing a team. Sometimes they'll say, we'll take a foul. Well, some people might say that one foul on an individual or a team foul or something. So sometimes where the ref just steps in, and that's just good game management. So yeah, I think so. I think as long as you aren't trying to overshadow the game or the integrity of the game, I think that's going to be the case more times than not.
Derek, you have any thoughts on senior nights and maybe an experience that you've had this year or in past years to make it special?
It's just really cool for me to kind of see, you know, because I cover these kids from freshman to senior year, and it's kind of cool for me to see that, you know, kind of the circle come close. You know, I was at Southeastern Girls Senior Night with Callie Mitten and Andrew Wheeler, and those are two athletes that just can't get any better kids than that. And, you know, it's kind of sad on my part because I know I won't be watching them play at Southeastern anymore. So, but yeah, I mean, you're right. They can definitely, you know, drag it out sometimes. But it, again, like Shane said, when they do it right, it's a cool moment.
Yeah. Okay. Well, no secret, we're moving into the postseason, guys. And so I just kind of wanted to throw this out. What game are you most looking forward to watching now, Shane?
Well, for me, it has to be the all-SBC matchups. Okay. I look forward to, you know, even though it's not ideal sometimes, it is what it is. So I look forward to watching a Paint Valley Huntington and a Dena Westfall, and then that final. You know, let's, you know, all of those matchups, if you get to the final, be it a Paint Valley Dena or a Huntington Dena, those have been some, you know, not to count out Westfall now that Wyman's working his way back, those have been some really close games throughout the year. So now you throw on top of the one and done season on the line, and I would say the intensity is just going to, you know, crank up a little bit more. The other one that I'll throw out there is if Zane Trace is able to win, the Zane Trace Lynchburg rivalry has a little pass to it. Those are basically two schools that had to basically quit playing because the rivalry got out of hand a little bit. So, you know, that's a little bit of an intriguing matchup. But, you know, we try to say SVC 100% of the time on here. I'll tell you this, the Division II that Uniota's got a chance to advance through. The Convo matchups are going to be insane down there. Highlight for you, Derek, Chillicothe Fairfield Union could be an incredible matchup down there if you're just a basketball fan wanting to go down and watch some good action at the Convo.
Any particular one for you, Derek, that you're looking forward to seeing?
I mean, yeah, Shane's right out of the SEC matches, but if there's one for me, it's going to be Paint Valley and Huntington. You know, I watched Huntington play Paint Valley at Paint Valley earlier in the season. It was just a barn burner. You know, it was just a great game. I don't think either team could miss in the first quarter. So it was like 31-25 after the first quarter. I'm like, man, I'm watching the NBA.
Yeah.
You know, so it was a really cool. It was fast paced, a lot of action. So that would be mine.
Okay, guys, let me throw this out at you. Can you give the fans a player, and parenthetically we'd call it an X factor, for their team in postseason? And then if there is one of those that you can identify, why do you feel that way?
For me, Derek, I think when I think of X factor, I probably move beyond the all-league list. I look for, you know, a role player down the roster. I don't know if it'd be a Bryce Newland shooting the ball or a Steven Zimmerman playing. You know, the one thing I will throw out there with Corey Wyman coming back, I thought it was a tough weekend on Austin Nunnemaker. You know, Austin's probably been their best player this year. But now what happens is you see this all the time. When a Wyman comes back, he really struggled to find his place at times. And my advice to that young man is they don't have a whole lot of time to get comfortable with each other. My advice would be to just turn it loose and go play. And you're playing with a gifted enough player in Corey Wyman, even at about 70%, where he's going to find his place in the game and the flow in the game. And if that happens, then they have a chance to be pretty good in terms of guard play. But I know Westfall Derek doesn't have a whole lot of time to make that happen with tournament right around the corner and Corey basically getting released here within this last week.
Derek, any X factors for you out there?
I'm going to pick one. And, you know, Shane, this kid is not, you know, on my all league list just yet. He'd be an honorable mention, but not on the first three teams. So kind of maybe a little bit of a spoiler, but I'm going to pick Jeff Postage of Dena. You know, Daniel Baconhaster and Trey Postage have really scored the bulk of their points. And Austin Preston scored when he's wanted to. But when I saw Dena at their peak, Jeff Postage was scoring double digits alongside Trey and Daniel Baconhaster. So if that Postage, because there's like eight of them. So if Jeff Postage can, you know, really kind of come up big in the tournament, I think Dena could go on a little run.
All righty. Well, guys, I think we're going to skip the fast break for the boys, similarly to what we did last week for the girls, because we have probably the highlight of this show coming up, a section we're going to have brought to you by the Crown Hill Golf Club. Shane, why don't you take it from there?
Yeah, it just makes sense, guys. When we're doing these feature here, we'll give the last half hour of the show or you know, whatever it takes here, 25, yeah. 30 minutes. Yeah, that's about what we did for the girls last week. And instead of doing the fast break segment, we'll just go ahead and have Crown Hill Golf Club bring our fans the feature of this week's show. Crown Hill Golf Club, give them a call, 740-986-4653. Certainly appreciate all their support. And, you know, Bruce, I think if you're okay with it, what we'll do is we'll just kind of use a similar format. We'll start down through kind of a list of things we want to cover. Feel free to ask us in whatever order, and Derek and I'll just have some real good discussion on the boys.
I feel like I should have had some kind of fanfare to play here, but I don't. So all you listeners, just kind of think fanfare in the back of your mind as we talk first about the coach of the year, Shane.
Well, as I did last week, I was highlighting a lot of the coaches throughout the league because I think it's a great opportunity. I think we had, what, four new coaches this year? You know, mm-hmm. think about the Westfall situation. A guy comes in, you take a job, you're thinking, okay, I'm going to settle in, first-year coach. I'm going to at least win more than I'm going to lose. It's going to be a nice transition. Then all of a sudden, week nine of football, and you just absolutely hope you're waking up from a nightmare. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's been a tough situation. You know, Dean has had a nice year. Southeastern really strong at the lower levels. They're going to be right back where we expect Southeastern boys basketball to be here real, real soon. Obviously the job, you know, Shoe's done at Paint Valley. You know, Coach Coker's a really good basketball coach, is gone through some different injury issues, and Coach Kello at Huntington's brought this senior group up through. I know they're looking to make some noise still here before they're done. So it really brings me the last two. I certainly think Coach Legg's done an amazing job at Piketon, but guys, I don't understand how you could give this award this year and not go to Coach Hoops. I understand that he has a lot of talent, but he won the league by what, five games? So I mean, it's a situation where anytime you're winning by five games and you haven't lost a league game in, you know, 75 years or whatever it's been now, it's, you know, it's just to me, it's a no brainer there in the job that he's doing there at Uniota.
Okay. Derek.
You know, I'm going to go a different route. I'm going to go Kyle Bradley at Adina. You know, I after the Warriors lost Jonathan Thomas, Colin Corey last year, Isaac Thomas, you know, that was a big three. And that was really, you know, I think Adina came into this year not knowing really, well, who's going to score, because that was their scoring. Those three, you know, had over 85% of Adina's total scoring last year. So, you know, Kyle walked into a situation where, you know, he didn't know who his scorer was going to be. He didn't have that one guy who could break down a defender and go to the bucket and create his own shot, you know, at any time in the game. And, you know, I mean, it's uncertain. I mean, he's got a bunch of kids who have to get used to his system. They have to, you know, kind of, I guess, embrace a new coach. And he still has them second in the league. You know, I just think that's an accomplishment in itself. You know, I would, you know, Matt Hoops is obviously, and he'll probably get the coach of the year, but, you know, to go 8-5 to go 9-5 in the league, you know, and then win 13 games. I mean, that's pretty special to me. When you're not knowing what's sure and you don't have that one guy, I think Matt Hoops can go to Peyton Hill. He can go to Logan Swackhammer, you know,
sure.
When Trey Postage is not hitting, Adina, who knows? I mean, it could be an off night for them. So, and they've lost a couple of those games in the conference because of something like that. So, I don't know. I feel like Kyle Bradley's the coach of the year.
Fair pick. Good pick. Yeah.
Good pick, but you're just being obstinate, I think. Hey.
Yeah, that's sure.
Yeah. Let's move on to our first team, and we'll cap that off right away, right out of the box, by the POY Player of the Year, Shane.
Well, I don't think there's much of a debate here. I'll start my first team with my player of the year, and Dylan Swingle. Dylan's been a pretty consistent 20-plus point well over 10 rebounds, right around, 13 a game rebound-wise. He blocks about three shots and changes probably literally another 10. I'm amazed just him being out there. People who drive to the basket, even when he's not there, kind of can change their shot. He does it really pretty efficiently, pretty solid free throw shooter, shoots it over 60% from the floor. So, yeah, I mean, he's just a kid that I think is just getting better and better all the time. And to be scary, the scary thing about it is he's got another year left with the, where with his work ethic, he's just going to keep getting better. You know, guys, at the next two spots, I'll kind of let whoever argue the order, the post and the guard, it kind of sometimes can be hard to compare and contrast, but I'll go Peyton Hill, Logan Swackhammer. Again, I feel like Unioda deserves that 2-3 spot. I love Hill's improvement. You know, people listen to the show a lot or listen to our call of the Chillicothe game the other night. I talk a lot about Peyton's feet. And what I mean about that is his footwork is he's outstanding with his moves and his counter moves. The jump shot is improving a lot. He does a lot of things, very skilled on the offensive end. But really where he's improved this year, Derek, is he's improved in some of the toughness categories. He's rebounding the ball at a higher level, especially against the elite opponents. And I think he's an improved defender. So I think as far as Swackhammer goes, obviously he makes the team go with his court vision. He's an improved scorer this year, and I think he being a junior too, as well as Peyton, I think what's going to happen with Logan is he's going to start to learn how to mix and match. When do I score? When do I get other people involved? And I think what's going to happen from that is he's going to become a little bit more efficient by next year, and the assist turnover ratio will even improve that much more. Guys, here's where it gets really tricky. I had about 7 names down that were really fighting for 5 spots, and I guess what I've decided to do is honor a little bit more of the overall body of work and not allow myself to maybe get caught up in some hot stretches here and there. And so I'm going to go Adina's Trey Postage, and I'm going to go Python's Casey Moore. I think in a league where 2 through 8 was just pretty much a coin flip every single night, I think these two particular young men separate themselves a little bit more from my 6th and 7th person that you'll hear later on my second team. But when I look at Trey Postage, I see a kid that can score it. He's a top 5 scorer, a little over 12 a game. Outstanding shooter. He's our top 3-point shooter in the league with 57 threes made. He even provides a little defense in the steal category, assist as well. So he's just he's really become kind of a complete player. And then as far as Moore goes, you know, Piketon's a team. He's averaging 16.2 a game, which is 3 clear of just about the third guy down. He's not going to quite make 1,000 without a Piketon tournament run, but he's certainly up into the 900s on the last report I had. A super, super player, and it's been really quite an improvement from Piketon from last year to this year. So again, Derek, to recap there, I'll go Swingle with the obvious player of the year. Hill, Swackhammer are no brainers. I don't even know how you argue that. And then as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to go Postage more in a very, very difficult 4th, 5th spot to name.
Okay, let's see if Mr. Obstinate is obstinate or not. Derek, your POY and first team.
Shane, you nailed it. I've got all 5 in the exact same order. Dylan Swingle, if Dylan Swingle's not player of the year, I'm going to go, you know, throw the stuff off a building, because there is in no universe is that even close to being right if Dylan Swingle's not player of the year. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say that, and I'll have to – and if he's not player of the year, Shane, I will write a column as to why he should have been player of the year, and I'm serious. So I go with him, and then Swackhammer Hill, Postage Moore. I mean,
that is interesting in the 4th or 5th spot, since you agree, Derek. I mean spend all the time you want this week talking about them, but the one thing I would ask you is, without maybe giving away our second team just yet, did you really struggle in that 4th or 5th, or did that come a little bit easier to you than it did me?
On my piece of paper right here, I've actually got down 2 names, and you know, I always circle the names that you know I want on that team. And you know, I circled Casey Moore, and the name below him, I think I looked at the piece of paper like it was right. Going to tell me for probably 5 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes and before the show, and I was like, you know, man, oh man. So earlier in the day, I had made that decision, and then right before the show, I thought, yeah. And but yeah, I mean, I went ahead and did with Casey Moore, and it was for the same reason as you said, his body of work.
Right. Okay. Well, thinking alike here. I like this, maybe.
and people may not believe this, but Derek and I purposely, we do not talk about this at all.
Yeah.
That's correct.
They don't, believe me. I was part of that conversation beforehand, but they did not discuss it. So, okay, let's move to our second team, and we'll let Shane take the lead on that.
Well, guys, the two names that I was referring to earlier, DeAndre Vining and Brandon Kennedy, and here's what's funny about this, guys. About, I'll say 2.5 weeks ago, I was starting to sit down and put together a boys list for the first time. Well, at that time, I had Brandon Kennedy. I had three Uniota kids on first team. I think we even talked about this on the show, fielding some questions from some of the fans. And Brandon Kennedy was a first teamer along with Hill and Swackhammer. Well, then what's happened over the last couple of weeks as well is DeAndre Vining's been outstanding. What in the last five games, I think he's averaged close to 26, 27 points. And I guess that's what I was referring to, guys, as I didn't want to allow myself to, sometimes I think what happens is we take what we watch last and we let it persuade us to the point where we maybe don't appreciate the overall body of work. And I just feel like Postage and Moore have maybe had the overall body of work and leading their teams to the 9-5 finish than maybe DeAndre Vining has been. But make no mistake about it, DeAndre Vining's really had a good year, and he's had a spectacular finish. Coach Keller's got to be extremely pleased with how he's playing going into the tournament. And then Kennedy as well. You know, Vining, third in the league at 13.8. Kennedy's average has dropped a little bit to 10.8. But, you know, I don't even really pay too much attention to that, because a lot of times, again, playing on a balanced team like Uniota, stats are going to be what they are, because, you know, there's only one ball to go around, and you're trying to obviously win first. So we'll start Vining and then Kennedy. And then I'm going to go back to Pike. Then I'm going to go to their backcourt with Travis Veach. And then I'm going to go to Adina. With Daniel Bacon Haster, I'm not sure exactly how you pronounce that. I've heard both throughout the year, but he's been terrific, giving them a little bit of size that they've lacked in that program now for quite some time. So he gives them a little bit of a post presence. As far as Veach goes, I just thought a lot of his senior leadership there at the guard position, handling the ball and their defensive pressure. And then I'm going to maybe surprise some people here a little bit in my last spot of the second team and go to Paint Valley with Andrew Bronner. And this is certainly not taking anything away from the year Drake Purdom's had. But I put Bronner there in my number two Paint Valley slot just because of all the different intangibles he brings. He can score it a little bit. He can rebound. He can defend. Does a nice job of feeding the post. Just does a lot of those intangibles we talked about earlier. So, again, to recap, second team, we'll go Viney, Kennedy, Veach, Baconhaster, and Bronner.
Okay, Derek, how say you?
Well, this is a little bit different. Okay. for us. So for the first three, I've got Kennedy and Viney, and I've also got Baconhaster, and I've also got Bronner. So we've got four of the five. But for me, instead of the Veach pick, I picked Isaac Beam from Zane Trace. I think, you know, I don't know. I've seen him play many, many times, and in each of those games, you know, he's been the guy for the Pioneers. You know, he's averaging just above 7 rebounds a game. You know, and he's also, I think, just above 10 points a game. But, you know, when Zane Trace needs to score, that's who they go to. They go to down low. And Isaac Beam has really impressed me this year. So other than the other four, you know, I subbed Beam for, I believe it was Veach.
Yep. Okay, so let's talk about your third team, and then you can also kind of throw in any honorable mention or any additional comments you may have on your selections when you do this, Shane.
Sure. Well, here's something I think Derek and I, we shared maybe a thought earlier. It's just we went about it a different way when he was talking X Factor. I start my third team with Jeff Postage. Again, maybe that's the point guard bias. It's the situation where I think he's really kind of the guy that makes him go. Obviously, Trey shoots it really well. They get the good post play. But without him handling the ball, he really defends. He's up in the league leaders in steals as well as assists. And then he's really proven the ability to score a little bit himself. So to me, I think he has to be a top 15 player. Next, I'll make sure Southeastern gets represented here with Rex Hartman. Hartman's had a nice year scoring the basketball. He's had some big games. I know in the non-league against a solid Jackson opponent, I want to say Derek, he had, 28 one night. Certainly had some breakout games. I think he's only going to get better and better with experience. But he certainly, even though Southeastern's had a tough year in the standings, he's certainly a top 15 player in my opinion. Then I'm going to go back I don't know, call it Paint Valley bias, whatever. You're not going to bother me. But to me, Drake Purdom's got to be all league. I mean, when I look at a kid like Drake Purdom, we only have, I didn't get a final update on the boys as final as I did the girls, because with them playing Friday night, it was a tougher turnaround. But I think we're only going to end up with about 12 or 13 double-digit scores in the league, maybe even one less than that. And, Purdom's one of them, averaging a little over 11 a game. And when you talk about the three-point shot, what a weapon that he adds to Dylan Swingle's game when you consider he was second in the league at 54 threes made. So, again, you can call it Paint Valley bias. You can call it whatever you want. You can say, well, Paint Valley shouldn't get three if this team doesn't get three or whatever. And that's fine. That's your opinion. I'll have mine. But if you're going to tell me a kid that makes 54 threes and averages 11 points a game is an all-league, then we're just going to have to agree to disagree. Next up, I'm going to go Elijah McCloskey at Huntington. Here's a kid that I think even by his own admission would probably tell you he struggled a little bit early in the year, coming off a really solid freshman year. But he's really come on the second half of the year, scoring the basketball. He's one of our best rebounders from the guard position in the league, does a really nice job. And then I get down to this 15th spot, and it's brutal. I mean, it really is. I mean, I thought about a Piketon third, but we talked about it earlier. I'm not sure who that is. Is it Reeder? Is it Zimmerman? So, I don't know that I could really go that route. So I kind of move that to the honorable mention. Derek, I even think they had some younger kids come on late in the year, like Lytle with a big game there. And I don't know that makes kids all league. I just think that me trying to sort their team out alone kind of steered me away from Piketon. Then I thought about Fisher a little bit from Uniota. But again, I thought he slowed a little bit late in the year, and I thought Uniota's depth kind of, the way Ogun had come on and the way Ivy had played and White's making some threes here and there and so forth. So that depth kind of steered me away. Certainly didn't forget about Westfall. Nunnemaker, Jude, has had some solid years. Here's where I come from, Derek, and this will be a great discussion point when you get to the end of your 13. I certainly don't want to cheat Zane Trace here. But for me, my list 2.5 weeks ago would have been Darby Pillow. Okay, so what happens is when Pillow went out, I want to say Pillow was averaging about 11.5 a game. He's a top 10 scorer, without question, a top 15 player. Now, you mentioned Beam on your second team, so obviously you, who I respect your opinion, you see a lot of basketball, you see a lot. I guess Beam would be their second best player, then averaging right around that 10 and 7. I think what's weird about Zane Trace for me, guys, is this. They're about 8 or 9 deep. Over the last month of the season, I feel like the freshmen have been their best players, but I don't think the freshmen have the overall body of work to be all league. So I really, really struggled in treating Zane Trace the right way here. I guess, the right thing to do would be to put Beam in that last spot. But I guess for me, it was going to be Pillow, but I don't think I can go that route. So, with that in mind, I probably would have tried to pick a Piketon kid. But as I got to the end, I have to admit that when I looked at a list that didn't have a Zane Trace kid yet, it was just really kind of a weird thing. So I guess Isaac Beam would be the kid I would have to fill in there. But I just thought that was a really intriguing topic for debate here, and I'll be really anxious to see how the SVC coaches vote, because again, one thing I purposely try to do is I try to not find out so much about the vote before I do this, because I like to just do it blind so that I'm getting my true opinion out there. So that's probably the way I would go, Derek. I'd go Postage, Hartman, Purdom, McCloskey for sure. As always, when I start to go from that final spot to honorable mention, there's about 6-7 kids always in the mix, but I guess I'd probably have to give Beam and Zane Trace my nod.
All right, Derek, your third team, and then you can talk about any honorable mention you want and any other comments you may have on your selections.
Well, I've also got Purdom from Paint Valley, McCloskey of Huntington, Hartman of Southeastern, and then I went with Matt Jude of Westfall, and I went with Nick Nesser of Zane Trace.
Okay.
I think you're right with Darby kind of being out, and you know, Darby had a couple games where he had big games and then he would score three or four. So I think his average was a little bit misleading. If you really look at the stats, yeah, he did score over 10, but he might have scored 30 one night and then, you know, 8 the next night. So but I will agree with you. If he played a whole season without being injured, then yes, Darby has to be on this list somewhere. But to your point that the freshmen played were probably Zane Trace's best players, Nick Nesser really kind of took over at the end of the year. He played well. I think I saw them in 3 of their last 7 games, and right, in all 3 of those games, he was a huge factor. Then Matt Jude, they didn't want to leave out Westfall. I just feel like with him and Nunnemaker, I just feel like Jude did a little bit more. He could score. He crashed the boards. He made that extra pass. So, but that was my final five. And you maybe even talk about an Aaron Benton or an Ethan Smith for Southeastern. You get to the Austin Nunnemakers for Westfall. And you're right. I even thought even over Gabe Fisher, I even debated putting Trey Ivey on a third team just because of the spark that he brings to the floor for Uniota. Sure. So
yeah, I think all of those are legitimate things, even though they're not a top 15, even a Bryce Newland had an honorable mention type of year. I'm not a top 15 year, but certainly an honorable mention year. Real quick, Derek, I'm intrigued by this. Obviously this doesn't apply to you because you had Beam as high as second team. Uh-huh. I was just wondering your take on this though, because this is something I really, really fought myself on all week in preparation for the show. If you're under the opinion of, okay, Pillow's their top guy, if Pillow did not play enough in your mind to take a top 15 slot, are you under the opinion that a team that goes through an injury should automatically get a guy just because that was their spot? Because I think sometimes people say, well, Pillow didn't go, so this spot, Zane Trace should still get this spot. Or do you kind of follow me there? Do you feel like that's the case, or do you feel like that kind of knocks Zane Trace out of that spot and you look to the other 7 teams? Because I think that's what the coaches are really going to have to answer for themselves.
I see where you're going with that, but no, I don't think that, I don't think you have to. Darby Pillow was, the 7th best player in the league, or just hypothetically, and so we're going to put him on second team. Well, he gets hurt, so Zane Trace has to have a kid there. No, right. I don't think that's the right type of thinking at all.
I agree with that. I don't know that a lot of people do. I think there's some people out there that will still say, they still deserve this, or this. Okay, that's interesting.
Well, when I make my list again, I don't make it based off of where they finished. I make it like my first team was exactly yours, was Moore, Postage, Hill, Swackhammer, and Swink. Well, I honestly believe those are the five best players in the league. It has nothing to do with where they finished. I just think they're the 5 best players, and then so on with the second team. They're the 6 through 10 best players. So when I make my all league list, I write down 1 through 15, and then I rank the players of who I think played the best, had the best years. I don't even take into account where they finished.
Yeah, good stuff. A lot of fun.
All right, and I'm sure that there are a few people out there that agree with you, and probably more so that disagree with you in some respects. And so they're probably wondering, how can they impart their wisdom to you guys? So I'm going to talk now about your contact information. To get a hold of Shane, you can do so on email at admin1 SVCSportsZone.com. He also maintains the two profiles on Facebook. And you can, if you follow him on Twitter, you can direct message him at SVCSportsZone.com. That's his handle. Derek has an email address, dweb@thechillicothegazette.com. And on Twitter, it's at DW1509, Derek Webb at the Chillicothe Gazette. You can always leave us a voicemail at DBK Media Services listener line, 740-569-3254. And I'm going to be honest here, folks. We haven't had a call all year on that line. So maybe Shane or Derek, you're going to have to call me on that line. We've not had one this year. A little strange. And a reminder that you can always subscribe to us, subscribe to the podcast so that you get every episode as it is put out there. Do so with a podcatcher, which is an app which will watch our feed for new episodes and download if set up properly to do so, so that you don't miss an episode. You can also get an email subscription by going to any of the posts on the DBK Media Services website. And you, of course, can find SVC Sports Talk in the iTunes store. If you do so, please consider giving us a great rating and a favorable review. Just about done, ready to move into the post-game comments, but first we want to mention again C&K Athletic Equipment. They are your local school apparel source for all of us in the SVC. You'll also find fitness gear, headwear, sports equipment, and sports accessories there as well. Located at 116 East High Street in Circleville, give them a call, 740-477-9828. They've got the spring sports coming up, and I'm sure they've got stuff for you and your children out there to root on your favorite local team. So we do move into the post-game comments now, which is kind of our closing section. And you know what tomorrow is, don't you, boys? You both are big, big, big baseball fans. And Monday marks the start of the baseball season. As a sports fan, how would you argue this particular time of year to be the best of the year? Shane.
Well, guys, I don't think it's really close. I think when you get to combine all of these things into one, it's hard to say this particular weekend or this particular week, but just this time of year, right here on a short calendar stretch, you get tournament basketball at the high school level. You get a little March Madness action at the college level. You get baseball practice underway. It's a time of year where you can be optimistic, even if you're a Reds fan. Everybody this time of year is going to be good. Obviously baseball practice starts, so you're mixing a little bit of tournament basketball trips in with a little baseball practice. And again, especially if you're lucky enough to get some good weather and you're outside doing that baseball practicing. And then, you know, obviously at some point you got to clear the schedule for a little golf action as well. So this is a pretty fun stretch that's not rivaled by too many other stretches during the year, in my opinion.
You left out NASCAR. It's starting too.
Oh, my fault.
Derek.
What's NASCAR?
We'll talk later.
Oh, okay. I would totally agree. Baseball, softball is my favorite, time of year to cover. One, because softball is quick and I get back to the office and write. And then baseball, boy. Just because I played that in high school. I mean, I fell in love with the game then. There's just something about the spring. Summer's right around the corner. That trip to the beach you've been waiting for or whatever it may be, whatever that vacation is. The kids are all excited because they're almost out of school. I mean, everybody's just in a good mood. And I can get out of the gym and stop hearing people yell at referees. So that's always good. They just argue balls and strikes instead of charges or blocks. And that's fine. I'm so tired. Shane, I don't know about you, but I'm so tired of hearing people yell at referees. it's not even funny. But Shane's right. Absolutely. I can't wait to be in Great American Ballpark myself with the high hopes until about April. When's opening day? Is it April 3rd? Something like that?
That sounds about right.
If it's April 3rd, obviously I'll have high hopes until April 5th. And then,
yeah.
But for that 2 days, that, as a Reds fan, it's bliss.
I don't even know that you can go there this year. I just don't know that you can even say that. but you guys, I mean, aren't you euphoric because of the weather as well? I mean, doesn't that add to all this? I mean, the days are longer. We're coming out of this horrible winter that we've had.
Right.
Tongue in cheek there, obviously. But I'm all those things, but I think the big thing is that it's going to be soon time for, you know, getting those shorts out that you never really put away this year.
No, the weather certainly does help a lot. You know, we in basketball, we have a saying, when the weather starts to turn just a little bit like this and the kids are leaving practice, we always talk about it being tournament weather.
Mm-hmm.
Or combo weather, because you know, you think back to your playing days when the weather started to get nice and you didn't have to throw those sweatpants on after practice. All of a sudden it was combo weather, and you kind of think back. So yeah, I think it is. And Derek, by the way, it is April 3rd against the Phillies, so
there you
know
go,
we're going to whoop the Phillies, so we'll be 3-0 yeah. going into the Cardinals series to start. So you can go.
You know what's funny about that, Shane? Remember, we were 3-0 last year.
Oh yeah.
And you know, then
I was telling everybody you can't win them all if you don't win the first three.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're bad. Well,
guys, I think Bruce, if we'll talk more about it and let them know for sure next week. But I think we're going to plan on doing one more basketball show. That way we can really touch on the things we have going on, hopefully with at least one girls team still moving on. And then see where the boys are heading into the convo there. Plus, we had a few more things that I couldn't get to this week. Some things that we used to do on the show where we talk about individual kids going into the off season. It's a really fun thing. So we'll try to incorporate that next week as well. And then, you know, once we talk to Bruce here a little bit, we'll see exactly what the spring schedule is going to look like, because I know Derek and I really, as I said before, our spring coverage here on SVC Sports Talk is completely unmatched. It's really fun to get to give the spring sports, particularly baseball, softball, some coverage. So guys, real excited to do that. So until next time, for Triple Crown Family Fun Center here in Chillicothe, as well as all the other sponsors on the website, for Bruce Knox and all the people behind the scenes at DBK Media Services, and for Derek Webb, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting svcsportzone.com, where we are 100% SVC 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.